Thank you for just your love this morning. I pray that, God, as your words are spoken, that you take me out of the equation. More of you, God, less of us, and open up our hearts to what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I get started, Pastor and Patty do send their love to you. They're out celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary, and they love every single one of you. I know that they would love being here with you this morning, but, I mean, 40 years is pretty amazing, right? Definitely goals. Hashtag goals. Okay. So, yes, I've been with youth all weekend. Going to throw a lot of slang at you. I'll try not to. So as I was thinking about this morning, I couldn't get away from this phrase that you see up on the screen. I really wanted to talk about Thanksgiving and entering into that season and Christmas. And I even actually have a whole message about gratitude. It's great. It's a great message. But God was like, no, I don't really want you sharing that this morning. And the word casual Christian, Pastor talked about, he actually read a quote a couple weeks ago that had that phrase in it, casual Christian, and it just stuck out like crazy to me. And the more I kept thinking about it, I knew that this is what God wanted me to share with you this morning. So we're going to talk about casual Christianity to full out fanatic. And we're going to look at the word casual first. So when I think about the word casual, I think about casual Friday. How many of you guys love casual Friday at work? I kind of live in casual Friday gear. Just love it. I think about casual restaurants. You know, if you're going out with friends or somebody, like, what type of restaurant is it? Oh, it's just casual, right? You just kind of chill. You're just kind of cool. I think about just casual friendships. They're not really like acquaintances, but they're not your BFFs either. They're just kind of, you know, you like them, but... you know, I don't know, they're just casual. And the word itself means relaxed, unconcerned, not regular or permanent, a person who does something irregularly. So when we talk about casual Christianity, we're talking about those that don't take the relationship with God as serious as they should. It's like the guy who complained to his wife about every time they went to church, he was sick of the music. He said, it's either away in the manger or up from the grave he arose. It'll get you soon. So I'm talking about a guy that only came to church on Christmas and Easter, right? That was the epitome of casual Christianity, only sometimes coming to church. And even though it's a funny story and a funny thought, we're living in a place in an age that we shouldn't be taking Christianity as casually as maybe some of us are, especially in critical times like this. And if we think about it, some of us might have even fallen into the casual Christian category and not even realize it because there's such a blast for believing nowadays, especially on social media. You know, you throw out a scripture online and then everybody wants to attack you with everything that's going wrong, but what you're doing is your foundation is here. And then you're getting blasted for it, so what do? We silently back up. We silently don't say anything, and we fall into this casual Christian kind of world that we live in because we don't want to say anything. There's stats for Bible-based believers, the George Barna Group did, and these just like broke my heart, to be honest with you. So first we have the builders. If you were born between 1927 and 1945, 65% of those people are Bible-based believers. And then the boomers, born 1946 to 1964, 35% of those people are Bible-based believers. Busters, I'm a buster, 16% are Bible-based believers. And then this one is just heartbreaking. Bridgers, born 1984 or later, 4% of the people that are being born, teenagers, young adults, 4% are Bible-based believers. And we've come to a place where going to church and believing in God is just something to do. It's not really a part and ingrained in who we are as people. Charles Stanley wrote a book called Confronting Casual Christianity. He wrote, apathy and complacency are hydra-headed sins which are an affront to God Almighty. The severest sin of Christians is a numbing lack of concern, an anesthetized attitude of, I don't care. I'm in the fold. Why should I concern myself? I have a fire insurance policy against hell. Apathy, complacency, indifference, spiritual drowsiness, and insensitivity are lulling the Church of Christ to sleep. Casual Christianity is putting the Church of God to sleep. And no one should be sleeping in a time where our voice should be heard. And not just our voice, God is using our voice to speak His words in a time where His words need to be spoken. And so how can we go from casual Christianity to full-out fanatic? Pastor spoke a couple weeks ago, like I had said, and he used the scripture. And in order to go to full-out fanatic is we have to fully give our lives to God. Fully give our lives to God. The scripture, Matthew 16:24, says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever gets to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me.'" You have to give up who you are today, right now, to be who God has created you to become. Amen. We need to put to death the sign, when the Bible says, take up your cross, the sign of a cross, especially when Jesus was talking, was a sign of death. That's where he died, on a cross. And so he's saying, put to death those things that are holding you back. Put to death your will. Put to death your thoughts, your plans, what you have in mind. Put those to death and take up your cross. Put everything that you think to death and follow me. And so we think sometimes that giving up who we are, that we're going to be lost in that. Well, I don't want to give it up because then I'm me. You know, I'm gonna, let me do me. Well, God wants you to give that up so he can begin to show you who you actually are. When we give those things up to God, he has created you to become something amazing. And when we hold on to those things, we don't really even know who we are in God. We don't even become our full person that God has potentially created us to be because we want to hold on. And so if we think about this, think about it like this. Why are we holding on to things that we don't need to hold on to? Why are we holding on to things that we don't need to hold on to? We walk around with the weight of the world. We walk around with all this stuff all over us. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I do it too. I walk around with baggage. I walk around with the weight on me that I shouldn't be walking around with. And somehow, by the time we woke up this morning and got out of bed and walked out of the door of our house and we walked into these doors, we picked up so many bags that we walked out with. Some of us might have picked up the bag of dreams. We all have dreams. Some of them we don't share with people, right? But we all have them. So we walk out the door with that. That's not so bad. Some of us, it took a lot of effort to get here this morning, right? So we picked up the bag of anxiety. We're like, well, I'm going out the door. I'm just going to pick this up. We all have a past. And we all walked in through these doors with our past. And we all have a different past, but we did walk in with that. We have fears. We have things that nobody knows about that we're so scared of that we don't want to share them. And so we walk out the door and we walked into church with our fears. We walked around with hurts. I don't know what hurt you, and you might not know what hurt me, but I did walk in with some hurts this morning. And then we walk in with regrets. For me, this is a bigger bag. And there's other bags, too, that we walk around with. You know, there could be a bag of addiction, of pride, of loss. There's all these bags that we walked in with this morning. And we've come into church like this. You know, we're walking like this. And we sit down in our chair. We're listening. Then pastor, he calls an altar call. And he says, come on down. You know, give your life to God. Fully surrender to God. You'll feel so much better. God's going to take over your life. And so we do. We come down. Man, we let go of all this stuff, right? Whew. For two to five minutes, we are free. We're like, yes, thank you, God. I give myself away. I give myself away. I surrender everything. We're like, yes, thank you. And we feel it. We feel lighter. We feel, and we know that Jesus has come in and he's going to take all of this stuff and he's going to just work it all out. Not that we're not going to go back and not go through stuff, but we know that Jesus is going to take care of it. And so we're free. And then this is what happens. He says, okay, amen. Everyone, let's go back to your seats. And instead of leaving all of this stuff here and sitting down, we go like this. Okay, hold on. Yep. I'm free. I'm free. So good. So good. Okay, here, I go back to my seat. And we carry it all back with us. Instead of fully surrendering it right here, putting to death at the cross that Jesus already nailed to the cross, all of this stuff, all of our sin, all of our hurt, all of our regret, it's already there, but we leave it, or we don't leave it, and we take it back with us. And then we just walk back out, and that's, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes because we don't fully surrender who we are to God. We don't fully give him our regrets. We don't fully give him our dreams. We don't fully give him our hurts. We don't fully give him our fears. And we just pick it all back up. When God has given us this opportunity to take up our cross, to nail it to the cross that he already died for us, and to walk free in him. We need to fully surrender our lives to God. Amen. And yes, and I think sometimes this is, maybe this is just how I think, but when we fully surrender, what does that mean? Some things in our life have to change. And we don't always want to change. So we just pick it back up because it's going to be hard. Change is hard, but it's worth it, right?
Yes, amen.
In the book of Joshua, so Joshua was leading the Israelites, Moses was, they were in the desert for 40 years, and now here they are, they're entering into the promised land. They're going into the city of Jericho, knocking down the walls. God promised them this land full of milk and honey. And God gave Joshua a word to the Israelites. He said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. Consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Be holy. Get ready. Leave it to God. Give it to God, because tomorrow God is going to do great things. And so many of us are waiting for tomorrow for God to do great things, but we haven't fully consecrated everything today to him. The only way that they went to Jericho and busted down those walls is because they were a united people who gave everything to God. Everything. They fully surrendered who they were to God. And this means making a conscious choice. You have to make that choice. I can't make that choice for you. Honestly, I would if I could. Could you imagine if we all surrendered everything to God? I mean, that's a powerful force in the kingdom of God. You know, it's like watching my kids make bad decisions. And, you know, if you have kids, sometimes you want to make decisions for them, but they all have to eventually make bad, stupid decisions. We all did. And your parents want to help you, you know, through that. But you have to make that decision. It's a decision of will, intelligence, and affection to God. But only you can do that. Only you can surrender who you are to God and fully give him everything. Another way to go from casual to fanatic is we have to live full out everywhere we go. Live full out everywhere we go. So in dance, the term full out, when I tell the girls, I want to see it full out. 5, 6, 7, 8, right? And this is just dancing, okay? Okay. The girls full out, boom, boom, ba, ba, ah, 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 right? And they're going after it. So I can tell the ones that go full out and the ones that are just going through the motions. Where do my eyes go? To the ones going full out. That's where my eyes go. And God wants us to live full out for him. And when I think about living full out, I think of the guys called the 12 disciples, right? They lived full out. Even the very call of the disciples, if you read that, it's amazing to me. You know, one day they're fishing, throwing down the nets. Jesus says, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They drop their nets and they follow Jesus. We don't read what happened in between there. All we know is that they lived. They went from one day ordinary to the next day living full out with Jesus. And we need to live full out. In Matthew 10, 5 through 22, just read it, because I'm just going to read a couple verses. This is Jesus' instructions to the disciples. He said in verse 5, he said, "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give." That's quite the instructions given to those guys. And then if you keep reading down, he says, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves." Awesome. "Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Those were his instructions to the disciples. He's telling them all these great things, right? Live full out. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to see people raised from the dead. But guess what? I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. And the disciples went. They lived full out. Did they have questions along the way? Yeah. Did they have doubts along the way? Yeah. But they lived full out. They went after it. They knew, people knew who they were. They saw their heart. They saw that who they were hanging out with. They had to say goodbye to their old life and follow Jesus. And they wanted to, and they should have. So here they are with Jesus, and they see him, you know, crucified. They see him raised from the dead. They saw all these things. And this is what Jesus said to them before he was ascended into heaven. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, "Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age.'" Go, therefore, and make disciples out of all nations. So when do we usually hear that verse? Missions, right? That's like missions written all over it. Go, therefore, into all nations. And I'm all for missions. I am. I believe every single one of us should go on a missions trip. It gets us out of our comfort zone. It, you know, helps us see and do things that maybe we wouldn't hear. However, that word "go" in the Greek is poreo. I'm probably butchering that a little bit. Go to Blue Letter Bible and you can hear what it really is supposed to sound like. But this is what it means. To lead over, carry over, transfer, to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on in your journey. That's so good, right? I mean, I never thought of it that way. So when God is telling us to go, he's saying, take this and transfer it on your journey. Go into all the nations doesn't mean go when you're, you know, coming to church. You're good. When you're in Bible study, yes, Jesus. When you're, you know, ministering in different ministries of the church, we go. But he's saying, no, take Jesus everywhere you go. To carry it over, transfer it in every part of your life. When you go into work, when you go into your family, when you go into the store, when you're walking down the street, wherever you are, live full out, carry over, transfer the love that is inside of you, the love that Jesus gave you, transfer it everywhere you go. Amen. That is the Great Commission. That's it right there. Everywhere we are, we're to be the love of Jesus Christ. It should carry over in every aspect of our life. And the disciples lived that Great Commission everywhere they went, to the point where when Jesus ascended into heaven, they were worshiping. In Acts, the Bible says they were worshiping and praising Jesus, and numbers were added to them daily. That means through worshiping Jesus, not in another place, right where they were, numbers were added by serving God, living full out. Amen. James 4:14 says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We don't know what tomorrow will bring, so why don't we live full out today? Amen. We're not promised tomorrow, so live full out today. How else do you live full out? Just three things and I'll be done, because that's the pastor thing. Three keys to live full out. The first thing that we already talked about is surrendering yourself to God. surrendering everything. Let go of what's holding you back. Leave it here. Let go of it. There comes a time in life where we have to realize something isn't working. If you keep coming back to the place where I just keep coming back here, I can't seem to get through this. I can't seem to push down these walls. Why do I always come back to this place? It's like I take two steps forward and one step back. I just don't understand. It's because you picked those up. And by definition, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. So we have to know. We have to stop doing what we're doing. And we have to do what God has asked us to do. Even the Pharisees questioned. So in Mark 7, the disciples were eating unclean food. They didn't wash their hands. And the Pharisees called Jesus out on it. And they said, Jesus, what are they doing? What are they doing? This is not what we've always done, Jesus. So why are they doing this now? And Jesus said to them, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Just because we've always done something doesn't mean it's going to work now. Just because we've always or you've always done something a particular way doesn't mean it's going to keep on working. We have to go back to the commands of God, not just human traditions. And I'm all for traditions, but what is God saying? What is God commanding us to do? We have to go back to that, not just honor God with our lips, but we have to honor him with our hearts. We have to fully surrender with our hearts, with our lives. Let go of what's holding you back. How else do you live full out? You have to get out of your box. Get out of your box. And not just the box that you put yourself in, the box others may put yourself in. So we're born and we're put in this box and there's gifts and talents that each one of us have. And eventually we come to know ourselves as this. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is how I act. This is what I say. And when we try to change, we try to get out of the box, others are like, no, that's not who you are. I went to Masters. It's a 10-month program. It's like what CJ's doing and Andrew's doing right now, years ago. And I was known as Aaron from New York, the dancer, because I'm a dance teacher. That's what I was known as for 10 months. Oh, yeah, you can dance. We'll make up a dance. Let's dance. And the greatest compliment at the end of that year was when the director looked at me and said, you're more than a dancer. You're more than that. Don't live in that box. You're a teacher. You're a preacher. You have wisdom. You're a leader. And for the first time in 10 months, I was like, whoa, I'm not just a dancer. It's comfortable. It's comfortable there. I could teach dance the rest of my life and I would be fine because I'm comfortable. That's my spot. You walk by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday morning, I'm living there. Like that's me 100%. But I can't live there because God has called me to more than that. That's right, and sometimes we view ourselves in this box, and others may view ourselves in this box too. But if he has called you to do more, step out of it. Get out of that box. You know, there's things that he has placed in my heart that don't necessarily, maybe you don't think they look like me, but God has put them in me. And if I just lived in my box, I would never do those things. Just like you, God has given you things in your heart that maybe you're questioning. You're like, God, no, that's just not me. That's not, this is not me. Do you know I almost failed 10th grade English because I wouldn't get up and give a speech in front of my class. I got a 36, and I convinced my teacher that I could use puppets. And so I film myself using puppets. It's so stupid. This is not me. This is out of my box. Right? I can't live in my box, and neither can you, because we're comfy in our box. And the Bible says don't be lazy in that. Proverbs 26:15 says, a sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. That's so, like, the picture in my head is crazy. But let's say I'm thirsty. I have my hand on this water. I'm really thirsty. I'm still thirsty. Right? Nothing's happening. But yet, what I need is right in front of me. And sometimes we live like this. You see it. You know what God has asked you to do. And then you want to get out of your box. But we're too lazy just to go like this and take a drink. to get out of the box that maybe you or others have put you in. So get out of your box. And the third thing to live full out is don't be afraid to do it. Sometimes I notice the girls that don't go full out. Here's a few things that that means. That means they maybe don't know the steps. Maybe they weren't listening at the beginning of the year to what I want them to do or what I choreographed. Their pride might actually be getting in the way. They might think they're better than they actually are, so they don't think that they need to dance full out. This is good if you think about your life. I know we don't want to, but just saying. Maybe we weren't listening to God when he told us what to do. Maybe we think we know what we're doing, so we don't do it. Or maybe they're scared. Some of them are actually scared to actually dance as good as they can because I'm going to notice them. Wait, you're not, you should be up front. And they're like, come on. You're more than what you are right now. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to live full out in the capacity that God has created you to live. We serve a God who is exceedingly abundantly. He's going to do more than we can ever ask or think. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Don't be afraid to live full out. David Platt ends his book with these words. Are we going to follow Jesus? Not are we going to bow our heads, say a prayer, read the Bible, go to church, and give a tithe while we get on with the rest of our lives. But are we going to follow Jesus with all of our lives, no matter where he leads us to go, how countercultural the task is, or what the cost may be for us, our families, and our churches? Are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to lay it down? Are we going to live full out for him, no matter what the cost, no matter what it looks like to our friends, no matter what it looks like to the culture right now? No matter what it looks like to our families, are we going to follow Jesus with everything that is inside of us? So a few questions to ask yourself. Number one, what do I have to fully surrender to God? What is it that I'm holding on to that I haven't yet given over to him? Maybe I've given him a few parts of my life, but what is it that I haven't given him fully over to him? What is that? And number two, am I living full out? Am I just all in for Jesus? And everyone knows it. Their eyes know that when I come in the room, yeah, I'm a Jesus fanatic. And I'm going to live for Jesus no matter what. So what do I have to fully surrender to him? And am I living full out for him? Let's close our eyes. God, I just thank you. I thank you, God, that you see us for more than what we are right now. I thank you, God, that you took the sin, you took our past, you took our regrets, our hurts, our pain, and I thank you that you nailed them to the cross. God, help us to fully surrender our lives to you, and knowing that when hard times come, that you want to walk with us, God, that you want to help us walk in that freedom. That you don't see us for who we are now, but you see us for who you've created us to be. And God, help us to live full out for you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God has more for you. Let's stand. Can we stand? I can't get past this. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, if you come in maybe and no one has ever given you this opportunity and you want to give your heart to God, just raise your hand today. Amen. Amen. Can we just lift our hands? I want it to be over, but I can't. Whatever that was, that name, that something, whatever God dropped in your heart to fully surrender to him, I just want you to whisper that. God, I give you this. God, I give you my past. God, I fully surrender to you my family. Just tell him. He already knows, but he wants to hear it from you. God, I give you my hurt. God, I give you even my confusion right now. I want to live full out for you. Can everyone just repeat this after me? Say, Father, I give you my life. Come into my heart. I fully surrender who I am to you. Help me to live full out for you every single one of my days. I love you. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, Dan, Stacy, Nicole, will you guys come on down? Brad, will you come on down? We want to pray with you. If maybe you're struggling just fully surrendering something to Him, we want to walk with you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you through that. And maybe you don't know how to live full out and you need help with that. We want to pray along with you for that too. So before you leave, if you felt anything like that, just come on down and we're going to pray with you. If not, we love you. Remember that God has so much more for you when you fully surrender to Him. Amen. Amen. Amen.